we are going to be part of the army of Christ in the battle for the soul of America.
D. James Kennedy Ministries presents Truths That Transform.
Are we in danger as a nation of losing our future by destroying our past?
We don't want to be the generation that fails to transmit that legacy of freedom to the next generation.
And how can we heal the wounds of our nation, both past and present?
This Healing for Charlottesville movement was birthed in our city.
Discover how we should live as Christians in a divided nation on today's Truths That Transform. Welcome to Truths That Transform, a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries, where we are standing for truth and defending your freedom. We live in difficult times, and it's more important than ever to have God's Word at the center of our lives. With the new year just around the corner, we have a powerful daily devotional we want to share with you. It's called Strength for Today, by Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. Jerry Newcomb. We will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to help us stand for truth and defend freedom. If you act now, you'll receive it in plenty of time for Christmas, as it makes a great gift. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339, or call toll-free 877-962-7677, or go online to djkm.org. Well, Election Day is now behind us, and we remain a greatly divided nation. Our history is being rewritten, and truth seems to take a back seat. On today's program, you will discover how America can be transformed and reunited. And you'll see how Christians in areas like riot-scarred Charlottesville are making an impact for the better. As we begin, Dr. James Robbins is a senior fellow in national security affairs at the American Foreign Policy Council. And he's the author of a provocative new book titled Erasing America: Destroying Our Future by Destroying Our Past. We recently sat down and talked together in Washington, D.C. about the dangerous path we are treading upon as a nation. One of the most astonishing things happening in the culture today is this propensity on the part of some to erase the portion of our history that people don't like. But what's behind this movement? What's really happening here?
Well, I think what's behind it is this progressive impulse to redefine everything in America in a negative way. And so because of this, the progressives and people like that are trying to say, well, since everything in our past was bad, we have to junk all that, get rid of, you know, the Constitution, get rid of American history, and move forward into this new utopia that they're planning with, you know, socialism and equality and so forth.
Do you think that scrubbing the past of all the so-called bad things in it is really just a way of mandating the present and the future in conformity with what, you know, the hard left wants to see?
Oh, definitely. I mean, this is the Orwellian aspect of it, and I quote George Orwell throughout the book. He who controls the past controls the present, and then you control the future. If they erase the aspects of the American narrative that we rightly have pride in, you know, our various freedoms, whether it's religious freedom or freedom of speech or all of the things that America stands for, if they erase that or make us look back on it with this sense of, you know, shame and disgust, then yes, they can then write whatever future they want because they have disrupted our traditions. And it's in our traditions where we preserve our freedom.
Right. What do you see as the greatest risk, and I guess I'm thinking educationally, going forward in a nation that is trying to whitewash its past?
Well, the risk is that you will have people who do not understand the basis of what this country was founded on. Because Ronald Reagan said that freedom is always one generation away from extinction. It is up to parents to transmit that to their kids. And, you know, it's also up to schools, hopefully, to transmit that, although we can't always trust the schools to do that. So we don't want to be the generation that fails to transmit that legacy of freedom to the next generation, because then we'll have that extinction event that Ronald Reagan talked about. And to me, when we see this sort of rising acceptability in certain sectors of politics for things like socialism and you know, anti-freedom, I see that as a big problem, because it's not that people can't discuss those ideas. They can. It's a free country. But sort of the acceptance that, hey, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's the direction we have to go now because we've tried everything else and it's failed. Well, that's their story, but it hasn't failed, and we shouldn't go down a road that we know is going to fail.
Yeah. You got to be careful using strong terms and strong language, but a lot of the tactics that we watch among these people seem to me to look like 1930s Germany. It's starting to look like fascism, in which the appropriate speech is defined, and if you're outside that definition, you're an enemy of the state. The left is calling current members, the president and current members of the administration, enemies of the state. It's a very fascistic kind of lingo that they're throwing around cavalierly. Do you have that kind of concern as well?
Oh, yeah. There's this, like, rising rhetoric and kind of acceptance of violent rhetoric and violent deeds. You know, when we see speakers being shut down, shouted down, or, you know, people assailed in restaurants or what have you, and some people on the left saying, good, we need more of that. We need to track these people down and say they're not welcome or something like that. Well, that's not really America. You're not going to be able to put together the kind of compromises in government you need to run the country if everybody is threatening everybody else. Or, you know, we've seen in the Supreme Court hearings of these paid demonstrators coming into the committee room and screaming. And one Democrat said, that's the voice of democracy. Really? Screaming in a committee room? That's how we're going to run things now? You can't run a government that way. And if speakers on college campuses are having their lives threatened by armed thugs wearing black masks, yeah, 1930s Germany, I think that's an appropriate kind of comparison, because the way down that road is not good.
Mm-hmm. Did not end well.
No, and it wouldn't end well here either. It would be very bad.
Unfortunately, America has been drifting to the political left towards socialism and political correctness for many years now. And with that move comes an erosion of freedom. Yes, elections come and go, and political gains and political losses are often temporary. But what will it take to turn our nation around? Well, Dr. D. James Kennedy saw it clearly. And I'm joined now by his daughter and my very dear friend, Jennifer Kennedy Cassidy. Jennifer, your dad was really clear on our need to keep our moral compass always pointed on true north.
Yes, he was, Frank. And he knew that if we were left to our own devices, that this nation would go down the wrong road. But my father also knew that there is something that could change that. He was an optimist and believed we did not have to be consigned to a societal collapse under the weight of unbelief and immorality. As we look around at a nation that is deeply divided, where common ground is shrinking and the rhetoric has grown angrier and more strident, what hope do we have to come together again? What hope do we have for a bright future for America? That hope is God, and we can find him through repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. You probably know the story of the prodigal son. In this portion of his message, Coming to Our Senses, my dad, Dr. D. James Kennedy, issues a wake-up call to this prodigal nation.
We are all, I'm sure, intimately familiar with the parable of the prodigal son. Today, if I be permitted, I would like to paraphrase that familiar parable and tell you the parable of a prodigal nation. But like the prodigal son, this prodigal nation also was enticed by dreams of the far country. The far country which bears the name of secular humanism. Ah, my friends, the travel brochures were beautiful. There was license and liberty without law. All of your wildest fantasies could come true. There was nothing to restrain your passions. You might enjoy it all. Keep in mind that secular humanism is nothing other than atheism with a Madison Avenue makeover. You see, atheism is negative. No God. Humanism wanted a positive face. Atheism said, down with God. Humanism says, up with man. And oh yes, down with God, because man is going to be seated on his throne. And so we have run off to the far country of the humanist illusion. The cultural elite, those are the leaders of the far country, respect neither tradition nor standards. They believe that moral truths are relative and all lifestyles are equal. They seem to think the family is an arbitrary arrangement of people who decide to live under the same roof, that fathers are dispensable, that parents are not to be married or even of the opposite sex. They are wrong. And the prodigal son ended up in the pigsty feeding the swine. Now that's exactly where our prodigal nation is headed. Some have already arrived via the quicker shortcuts of drugs, immorality, sex, and alcohol. However, the story of the prodigal son doesn't end up in a pig pen, because happily the prodigal son comes to his senses. Now, I am absolutely convinced that that is what is going to happen in America. I am an optimist. And the reason that I'm an optimist is because I have read the last chapter. And I know we win. And that's good news. Now, how long it's going to take for our prodigal nation to come to its senses, I don't know. But that depends a great deal on us as Christians. But most Christians are sitting on the sidelines. Dear friends, join the army of Christ. Become a part of the greatest movement of the Spirit of God in the history of the world. Reach out to this prodigal nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Bring them into His church. Let them hear the good news, that they too may come alive and shake off this deadly sleep which has engulfed our nation and seduced us into the far country. And then America will return to its father's home. And there was music, and there was feasting, and they all began to make merry. That's what God has for us. Not slavery and tyranny in God's house, but freedom and joy and rejoicing. That's the truth over against the devil's lie. God grant that beginning today, every one of us will determine that we are going to be part of the army of Christ in the battle for the soul of America.
Dr. Kennedy's clarion call is that all Christians are called to be part of the army of Christ. This army does not battle with the weapons of this world, but with the truth of God. And though the media doesn't show it much because it better serves their interests to foster division, there is a real reconciliation coming to broken places through the gospel of Jesus Christ. Our own Dr. Jerry Newcomb has more.
On the streets of Charlottesville today, the hate boiling over. White supremacists and countered protesters fighting with fists and clubs.
In 2017, in Charlottesville, Virginia, a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee was slated to be torn down. But before that happened, many protesters of the so-called Unite the Right came to intervene. This included neo-Nazis and KKK members. Meanwhile, counter-protesters from Antifa and Black Lives Matter also descended on the peaceful city. Chaos ensued, the police held back, and violence ruled the day.
A car plowing through counter-protesters.
The hate and the division must stop, and must stop right now.
On August 12th in 2017, we had about 1,000 people come into town, most from out of town, and they were 90% were outsiders, and they came with their agendas to try to make a statement, and they clashed, led to a young lady being killed, run over by a car, and so it was a tragic day.
Christian author Mark Belisles has been serving as a pastor in Charlottesville since 1981.
It was an ugly day of violence, of hatred, of racism, of bigotry, and there was ugly things on both sides. But you know what? Even though that was what happened, and people know Charlottesville because of it, it's not the end of the story. After all of that day, many pastors came together, and we began to say, what can we do to respond to this? What would be the response, our role in our city? And so I helped gather Black pastors, Hispanics, Asian pastors, many different ethnic groups of all denominations. And we gathered together and we decided we're going to have a gathering to pray for Charlottesville.
Mark Belisles joined forces with Reverend Alvin Edwards, and even though they differ on politics, they are one in Christ. And together, they formed Healing for Charlottesville.
The only encouraging thing is that this has forced the church to come together. The disunity, I believe, set the atmosphere for the confusion that reigned. So the guys took blame for this. I'm talking about the church leaders. And quite a few of them, 30-some that I'm aware of, gathered in the city, this very small town. And December, after the August event, the death of Heather Heyer, they came together, they had prayer, a walk, they had evening services together. Then they talked about strategies to heal the racial divide in their community.
This Healing for Charlottesville movement was birthed in our city.
Bishop Harry Jackson, a member of President Trump's Evangelical Advisory Board, was a featured speaker.
Greetings, everyone. Many of us have come to simply support the valiant efforts of these two very articulate spokespersons for Charlottesville.
And God really is doing something beautiful in our city. Pastors, unity coming together that it hasn't been there in the 35 years I've been there. Pastors working together. So it's an exciting new day, actually, of churches leading the way in our community to provide solutions and bring healing among different groups of people in our city.
But Healing for Charlottesville was not just a one-time prayer event. They made a commitment to a seven-pronged strategy to bring real reconciliation in Christ.
When we think about working together, having churches with after-school programs, outreach programs, and then, oh, by the way, you have little Black kids, little brown kids interfacing with white leaders who are mentoring them. It really is building a bridge in the name of Jesus and under the auspices of this great institution, organism called the church.
Despite the violence we're seeing flare up in the streets of America, including what happened in Charlottesville in August 2017, the Healing for Charlottesville is showing how Christians working together for peace through Jesus can make a huge positive difference.
As Apostle Paul said, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. I do believe it is an antichrist, ungodly spirit that is trying to produce anarchy and violence. It's the same spirit, if I can be so bold as to say this, that motivated the KKK and other people, just hatred. Hatred back in the civil rights days, not just against blacks, but against Jewish people. That had a spiritual root to it. So I think church people have to say, warfare is going on.
It's unity, bring unity into the city. Amen. And bring healing and transformation.
We're talking about having teams of churches working together, black, white, going into every neighborhood, finding out, you know, maybe sources of problems and working on solutions to heal, you know, those communities. That's how it happens.
How encouraging it is to see lost and lonely human beings transformed by the power of Christ and sharing that transformation with the rest of the world. It's the power of God through Jesus Christ that brings reconciliation in places like Charlottesville, where so many of our political, ideological, and racial conflicts came to a head. Don't you want that same power in your life every day? The same God working transformation in Charlottesville can work transformation in you. Daily time spent in God's Word is a vital part of that process. And we have a powerfully effective resource to guide you in your daily time with the Lord. It's one of our ministry's cornerstone resources, the daily devotional, Strength for Today. And we will send it to you as our thanks for your generous donation to the continuing work of this ministry. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. This daily devotional, filled with the inspirational teaching of Dr. D. James Kennedy, as well as insights from his co-author, Dr. Jerry Newcomb, will provide you with day-to-day words of encouragement and biblical truth to help strengthen your walk with God. Dr. Kennedy said, "We were created by God to do great things, to soar high, and to make an impact on our world for Him." Strength for Today is a collection of biblical truths that will help you live that out, taking you through the year in victory and with purpose. The encouraging wisdom of Dr. Kennedy will help deepen your love for God and give you a steadfast hope only found in His Word. And if you contact us right away, you will receive this devotional in plenty of time for Christmas, as it makes a wonderful gift. So please, give a generous donation to help us proclaim truth and spread the gospel. And we will thank you by sending you Strength for Today by Dr. D. James Kennedy and Dr. Jerry Newcomb. Simply write to us at D. James Kennedy Ministries, Box 11154, Fort Lauderdale, Florida, 33339. Or call toll-free, 877-962-7677. Or go online to djkm.org. Well, another election has come and gone, and we look both to the future with some trepidation, but also with hope. And it's an important time to stop for a moment and be reminded of an ageless truth from the Scriptures, which tell us, put not your trust in princes, in a son of man in whom there is no salvation. When his breath departs, he returns to the earth, and on that very day his plans perish. As those who name Christ as Savior and Lord, we are called to be salt and light. This historic call to engage the world with the gospel and the mind of Christ includes being part of our nation's political process. But we must never mistake the kingdom of man for the true kingdom of God. There will always be advances and setbacks in human political kingdoms, but Jesus Christ stands above them all. One day every knee will bend and every tongue will confess that He is Lord and Messiah. So that most important question we face is not which party comes out ahead in a given election. The most important question we face is, what will happen on that day when we stand before our King and give an accounting of our lives? Scripture tells us, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Jesus is not only King, He is also Savior. And the salvation He offers comes to us as a free gift to those who believe that in His death and resurrection, He made atonement for us all. At the end of another contentious election season, this is a good time to stop and quiet our hearts before our Heavenly Father, making sure that we have placed our eternal well-being on the only firm foundation, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, the Savior of all who trust in Him. D. James Kennedy Ministries is standing for truth and defending your freedom. I'm Frank Wright. Thanks for joining us for this edition of Truths That Transform. We'll see you next time.
Next week on Truths That Transform.
Tolerance is the last virtue of a depraved society.
And it is the very people that the left here in the United States talk about uplifting and helping are the ones that suffer the most under socialism.
That's next week. Today's program is available on DVD for your gift to this ministry of any amount. Please call, write, or log on to our website today. This has been a production of D. James Kennedy Ministries.